This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have not one, but two FBI whistleblowers today. We're going to talk about that Maui stuff. We have a light in the mood that you might need to hear a little bit different, but we have a great show tonight on I'm Right. The system, the corrupt system we have now. Remember, not just a government system, it's all encompassing. It's education, entertainment, it's freaking sports, they have it all, right? They seized every institution. And before I get to this Hunter Biden, Joe Biden stuff, I just want to point something out. COVID revealed so much of how corrupt our system was. It woke us all up. Oh my gosh, we don't even have a CDC. But you know what got me the most about COVID? There were many, many things, how compliant our fellow citizens were and whatnot. But the part that got me the most during COVID was this: how willing our leaders were to rub their different life in our faces. We have to follow the rules, and they don't. Okay, that already sucks, right? That's not good. That's not a good system. But it was more than that. They don't have to follow the rules, and they decided they wanted you to know about it. And what do I mean by that? Remember this. Remember all the lockdowns, wear a mask, don't travel, don't see family, close this, don't get your hair cut, don't eat at a restaurant. Remember all that stuff? They were always telling you that you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And then they kept getting caught doing the exact thing they told you not to do, oftentimes on the same day. Gavin Newsom locks down California. We don't need these big gatherings in restaurants with like 10 people. Gets caught hours later dining in a restaurant with something like 20 friends at the French Laundry. Remember it? You remember London Breed, mayor of San Francisco, telling everybody, lockdown, can't do this, can't do that, don't gather with people, are you crazy? Gets caught, I believe it was that night, out with friends at a bar. No mask, dancing it up, woo! You remember? But what hit me most about it wasn't hypocrisy. Forget about that stupid word, that means nothing. These people don't care that they're hypocrites. What hit me was, man, how powerful do these people think they are if they don't even have to pretend anymore? You see, all those people didn't get caught. They know it's the cell phone era. Everyone in the public eye knows that. I do. I don't sit at a traffic light and pick my nose. Why? Well, one, because that's gross, but two, everyone's got a cell phone camera these days. But I know that. All these people knew that they would get caught. They wanted to get caught. They wanted you to see, look, peasant, this is how I live. That's how you have to live. They wanted to get caught. I think about this when I look at this Hunter Biden, Joe Biden stuff. How just naked, out in the open the corruption was. Hunter Biden's lawyers, they actually threatened the DOJ to put Joe Biden on the stand. You know what the DOJ did with this Hunter Biden stuff? Now, granted, all this stuff got buried, but you know what the DOJ did with the Hunter Biden stuff? They tried to get him blanket immunity, not just for everything he did now, but for any future crimes that come up. That would be like Al Capone. You know how they busted him for tax evasion? The IRS busted him for tax evasion? That would be like the DOJ sitting down with Al Capone when everyone knows he committed other crimes and saying, okay, Al, well, we've got a deal for you here. No jail time for the tax evasion and any other crimes that may or may not arise, we got you some immunity in that too. Hunter Biden's lawyers didn't seek that out for Hunter Biden. The Department of Justice sought that out for Hunter Biden, the president's son. Who was the main culprit in that? Well, his name's David Weiss. This is a little quote courtesy of the New York Times. Quote, Mr. Weiss, now special counsel, appeared willing to forego any prosecution of Hunter Biden at all, and his office came close to agreeing to end the investigation without requiring a guilty plea on any charges, but the correspondence reveals that his position relayed through his staff changed in the spring around the time a pair of IRS officials on the case accused the Justice Department of hamstringing the investigation. Mr. Weiss suddenly demanded that Mr. Biden plead guilty to committing tax offenses. The guy who's currently the special counsel in charge of investigating Hunter Biden was attempting to use his position at the Department of Justice to get him off completely scot-free from any crime. And even after that gigantic reveal that he's actually an advocate for Hunter Biden, he practically is one of his lawyers. Instead of being a prosecutor, the Department of Justice said, hey, man, we need a special counsel for Hunter Biden. Somebody nonpartisan, somebody America can trust to look into this. And they appointed David Weiss. You know they do this stuff on purpose now, right? They don't hide it. Over the weekend, did you know they dropped tax charges against Hunter Biden? All the tax crimes he's committed, open tax crimes. On Friday, they just announced, all that's dismissed. They do it out in the open now. And remember this, they do it in the open on purpose. Just like telling you, hey, don't you dare go out without a mask. And then me getting caught 5 seconds later without a mask. I didn't get caught. I wanted you to know. I wanted you to see who rules you. And that's how these people see themselves. It's pretty freaking sick, isn't it? Now, speaking of IRS whistleblowers, remember when Merrick Garland was talking about, wow, there's going to be no retaliation?
Do you commit to me, this committee and the Senate as a whole, that any retaliatory conduct against whistleblowers will be disciplined?
I do, Senator, and you know well, more than any other member of this committee, that I've been a staunch supporter of whistleblowers and of the False Claims Act during the entire period of my role as a judge as well.
Yeah. They never retaliate against those whistleblowers. Not in a million years. He's been a staunch supporter. Joining me now, two of those brave whistleblowers, Kyle Serafin of The Kyle Serafin Show and Steve Friend, author now of the book True Blue, which I would highly recommend. In fact, I'd recommend both of them. Steve, a lot of people may not know this, but this is an anniversary, too. This is the one-year anniversary of the day I got an email to my show from this brave FBI guy saying he's had quite enough. What's wrong with you? What were you thinking?
I don't know at this point. I mean, who would have thought that we'd be here right now at this point? But I'm grateful for, you know, your generosity, your audience's generosity, and the opportunity to connect with somebody like Kyle. That's definitely, we've separated the wheat from the chaff when it comes to character of people.
We have. I applaud you both, as you well know. Kyle, whistleblowers and whistleblower retaliation, the threat of it is real. Obviously, they can pass as many laws as they want, saying, no, there won't be any retaliation. But in reality, there is a lot. Explain what it's like for FBI guys such as yourself and Steve and Garrett and others who come forward.
So, Jesse, they're playing word games, as they so often do. One of the things they're doing is they'll say, we're going to protect whistleblowers, and then they just go and determine that you're not a whistleblower. So Steve's not a whistleblower. I'm not a whistleblower. Everybody's not a whistleblower if it's inconvenient to the regime. You know, you have to come out and make hearsay claims about a president on a phone call that you didn't get on. That's how you become a real whistleblower, and you go after and do what the deep state wants. So that's part of it, because I've already been adjudicated in multiple forums as not a whistleblower. That's the first piece. And the second piece, which is probably so critical, is that they're going to make the argument that there's a law in place and then there's no teeth in that law. So what is the punishment that's laid out under the Whistleblower Protection Acts? There's none. There's literally none. It says you shall not do these things. You must not. And the answer to that is if you do, then you face no scrutiny. So that's the big problem, is that when you write a law with no teeth in it, it's just an administrative sort of guideline, and they don't feel any, you know, pressure to comply with it. They feel actually very vindicated by just doing whatever they want. And then they just rule you, well, you're just not inside the circle of the people we're talking about.
Steve, have you guys heard from others? Obviously, I don't want details, thinking about coming forward, because we really need a lot more of you. I'm glad you guys are the vanguard, but we need a lot more from just not just the FBI, every branch of this government coming forward and saying how bad it is and having their story told. And there just aren't that many.
I have heard from quite a few, actually. I think that they see what's happened to people like myself and Kyle and Garrett, and there's a tremendous amount of fear here. Look, we faced a lot of retribution now at the hands of the federal government. Look, Garrett's story, it deserves to be told. I mean, look, that guy, his transfer was facilitated just to leave him homeless and without his household goods. Myself, my medical information was leaked to the New York Times. They tried to put a gag order on me to prevent me from communicating with an attorney, and then set me up for a felony where they could execute a search warrant and arrest warrant at my house. So this is definitely an out-of-control system that's targeting individuals, and you need to look no further than the recent training that we've learned about that has been brought to us by insiders. And that is the fact that the FBI has combined its training on whistleblowing with insider threat. They used to be separate. They used to be identifying Robert Hansons and then learning how to be a proper whistleblower and do it the legal way. They've now combined it, and the message is very clear here. They want people within the FBI to be on the lookout for whistleblowers and identify them and bring them forward.
Oh, that definitely doesn't sound like a secret state police agency at all, does it, Kyle?
Not at all. No, the best thing is that anybody who comes to us, and there's a couple of people that have identified problems, they've said, look, if you know, I want to come to you, but also they know that they're going to lose their job over it. It's not even a question, like, is this going to be bad for my career? It's assumed that they will lose the job. So they're trying to get their ducks in a row. And that's one of the reasons why we've put together this sustainment fund, which we started on Gifts and Go, and we got guys like you know, Garrett and Marcus taken care of, but they're going to leave some money in the pot because someone else is going to come out and they're going to lose their job pretty much immediately. They got about 30 more days of pay the minute their name gets public or that the FBI digs them up. And they've fired other people, by the way, than just us. There's others out there that have lost their jobs over it. They just decided to not get really public about it, which I think is a mistake, unfortunately. But everyone makes their own choices. We're not the only ones. You know, the other people have lost their jobs over this stuff.
Steve, why did you guys decide to go public? I'm thrilled you did. One, the public needs to know, too. It's the only protection you might have. But why did you go public? Why not just quit and go be a beat cop somewhere?
Well, I think that guys like Kyle and Garrett and myself sort of slipped through the cracks of the vetting process that the FBI set up for itself. We came in, we actually understood the oath of office, and it was more than just an iPhone user agreement to us. It meant something to me. I remember very vividly being able to swear my oath of office and call me a nerd or a student of history, whatever you want. But I remember thinking very specifically that this is the oath that somebody like a George Washington swore, and I need to uphold my end of that bargain because I need to honor people like those titans of history. But unfortunately, it's just something that people do, they get along with at this point. And it's just an unfortunate circumstance that we find ourselves in because there is a lot of corruption that goes on. The FBI had itself a week the last couple of weeks. Look, we've got four people who were killed at the hands of the FBI in the last 2 weeks alone. And there's been no information forthcoming about that. And that's just the first thing that I got identified. Look what happened 2 weeks ago where you have Charles McGonigal pleading guilty. You have FBI Director Christopher Wray proven to be lying in front of Congress about the radical traditional Catholic memo. And then my personal favorite, it was the elevation of the special agent in charge from Philadelphia, Jacqueline McGuire. She was the individual who approved of the raid at Mark Houck's residence and then also was involved in a shooting inside city limits of Philadelphia where she herself shot a dog with her gun. Now she's been elevated to executive assistant director over training, so she will have the honor of giving guns to new agents when she doesn't even know the deadly force policy herself.
It's so corrupt and terrible. It's beyond belief. God. Okay, speaking of how corrupt and terrible it is, Kyle, it's not just that we're in a bad spot. It feels like we're a million miles away from a good spot. For instance, we have January 6 people who committed misdemeanors thrown in dark holes for years. And Elvis Chan took his position at the Federal Bureau of Investigation and used it to politic on behalf of the President of the United States of America, having a damaging story censored by social media companies. He's not only not behind bars somewhere, he's living a life of luxury.
Yeah, it seems like the Bureau loves compromised agents. Those are the people that seem to move up in small ways and in big ways. Look, here's a great story. We were just talking about SWAT shootings. There have been four of them in the last something like 12 or 14 days. People have heard about what happened in Utah. They've heard about what happened in Tennessee. They didn't know that the day before Utah, somebody was shot in Albuquerque. And 5 days before that, somebody was shot in Philadelphia by the FBI. All the same thing, 0600 SWAT warrants. So one of the things that's really interesting is the guy who ended up being integral in getting me out of my office and taking my gun and my badge from me, was writing up things against me, was a SWAT agent. He was the senior team leader. He'd come out of Baltimore and he had been involved in a shooting that probably was unjustified. He shot at a black unarmed female in the city of Baltimore. You can imagine how well that would go over. And about 30% of his SWAT team quit because they didn't want to have him with a gun behind them. But that guy is in charge of the senior team at the Albuquerque SWAT tactics. He's the guy who's the lead tactics instructor and the guy who signs off on all the SWAT warrants. So they love these sort of people in minor and greater compromised positions. Elvis Chan's a great example of it. We talked about McGuire, Jackie McGuire, who shot a dog in Philadelphia. She's now in charge of training division. So if you got a little bit of dirt on you, they know you're going to do what you're told because they've got that easy sort of strike to knock you out and take you out of your pension and the paycheck that you've had. And they don't have any other plans. Like, most federal agents don't have another plan. They don't have a backup like Steve. Like, Steve and I didn't have a backup either, but we also kind of looked around and went, like, do I want all of the tyranny or sort of like this really expensive freedom I'm going to get? And we just stepped off into the void and said, that's okay. We've always forged our own way. We'll do it again.
Well, you made the right call. Steve, before I let you guys go, you have this crackpot idea about a disarmed FBI. What are you talking about, Steve?
Well, this is my my compromise, because I share your sentiment, Jesse. I think the FBI needs to be broken into 1,000 pieces and scattered into the wind. But I'm willing to give the old college try to something where we would essentially defund the special agent position and then force the FBI to partner with local agencies, get their permission to conduct an investigation, get their personnel as the guns in the room, swear them in as task force officers, federally deputized agents. And then when it comes time to make the arrest, it would be, again, on the approval of your sheriff. And that puts a bulwark between you and an out-of-control weaponized FBI. And secondarily, I think, and I'm going down to Collier County, Florida tomorrow, and I'm going to be speaking out on behalf of a Bill of Rights ordinance for that county where it's going to make it a sanctuary county from FBI overreach. The solution is and always will be local, local, local.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, keep rolling. Rooting for you, as you know. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
Good men right there. We need a lot more like them, but good men right there. But they're not the only three-letter agency run amok. Would you like to know what they're doing at the ATF? It matters. I promise you. We're not paying attention, but it matters. We'll talk about that in a few. And all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, let's have a frank talk about something. Because there's something we've sadly neglected our entire lives. And you know what that thing is? The most important thing when it comes to having our vehicles cleaned. You see, I got my car not just cleaned, I got it professionally cleaned the other day. I never do that. I hadn't had it cleaned in months and months. And I got it professionally cleaned. And I took it in and I dropped it off and they did the scrubbing thing and they scrub-dub-dubbed it and it all went so well. And then I pulled away as soon as I got in my car and started driving. I said, what is this crap? What was the problem? Well, it wasn't the seats, it wasn't the outside. The tires look good. They didn't do the inside of the windshield very well. They left streaks all over the inside of the windshield. I don't give a crap what the tires look like if I can't see out the windshield. Windshield, wow. You know what it does? They attach to each other. So you, on the outside of your car, are cleaning the outside and inside of your windshield at the exact same time. It's freaking miraculous. But I can't even describe to you how much better it is to drive with a clean inside of your windshield. That film you get, it doesn't have to be there. Here's what you need to do. Windshieldwow.com, Promo code Jesse gets you a special discount. Go do it. That will be what I do for my windshield from now on. WindshieldWow.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
While we've all been distracted by crimes, wildfires, world events, and all those things are perfectly fine to be distracted by, there's been something else going on. Always remember this. Always remember, the communist understands he can never do all the things he wants to do until he disarms you. That's always in the back of their mind. The ATF has been at work while we've been at sleep. Joining me now, Eric Pratt, Senior Vice President of the Great Gun Owners of America, to give us an update on what exactly they've been doing over there at the old ATF. Eric, what's going on?
Wow. Well, it has been a war against the Second Amendment. Jesse, thanks for having me on with you. Look, the Biden administration has weaponized the ATF to put gun dealers out of business, and they're doing it at unprecedented rates. And they're trying to make it for Americans to buy firearms, which is exactly what the anti-gun left wants. So in response to this, Gun Owners of America has filed a lawsuit to challenge ATF's zero tolerance policy. We're defending thousands of gun dealers all across the country. These are ones who are aligned with us as part of our Caliber Club. And we're defending the Second Amendment rights of Americans as well. And what we're doing is we're asking the judge to put an end to Biden's purge of gun dealers. Currently, our case is in federal district court in North Dakota. And what we're going to show is how the ATF has moved from its intended purpose. It's supposed to be regulating the industry, and instead they're trying to destroy it.
Can you explain specifically for all of us who don't know, what are they doing? What justification? What are they doing?
So take this case that we're involved with in North Dakota. This case all stemmed from a lawsuit that we had filed last year where we were defending a gun store by challenging one of Biden's executive gun bans, one of the many where he has circumvented Congress. Well, after we filed suit, the ATF launched their first ever compliance inspection of this gun store. What a coincidence, right? And within a month, The ATF found 5 errors, mostly clerical, none of which resulted in bad guys getting guns, by the way, but based on what amounts to less than a 1% error rate in their records, the ATF moved to revoke the gun store's license, even though all of their guns were accounted for. And, you know, it's ironic. The federal agent that was doing the inspection even admitted that this might appear like retaliation because of the previous lawsuit against the ATF. Gee, you think? But, you know, this is just one example of the many abuses that the Biden administration is inflicting upon the Second Amendment community. And if GOA is successful with our legal challenge, we'll bring this out of control, zero tolerance policy to a screeching halt.
Can you explain universal background checks? This is something these people slobber all over. They love it, and it's something that the normal average American who isn't quite as boned up on you on Second Amendment issues probably doesn't see a problem with. After all, it sounds so nice, doesn't it? Universal background checks. Everyone will just have a background check. It's fine. What's your problem, Eric?
Well, the problem is it doesn't work. You know, the Buffalo shooter, the Uvalde shooter, the July 4th shooter from last year, they all passed background checks. You know, according to Department of Justice statistics, 95% of the people who are stopped through these background checks are erroneous. They are false positives. They're stopping good people instead of, go figure, instead of stopping the bad guys who always work around the law to get their firearms. So basically what background checks do actually accomplish is to register gun owners. The ATF admitted almost 1 billion gun owners' names have been compiled and almost 900 million of them are now digitized. You know, given the failure of the background check, we should be disbanding this system because gun registration and gun owner registration is quite often the first step to gun confiscation.
Hold on. It sounds to me like you're saying they already have a gun registry. If they're collecting names of people who buy guns, I promise you they have mine.
Well, that's right. And this is the one of the things that Gun Owners of America is working to get rid of, not only in the courts, but also to defund it through the Congress. In other words, Congress controls the purse, the purse strings, and they can say we are no longer going to supply any funds for collecting and compiling these gun owner names, you know, the serial number of the firearm, the address, the social security number of the buyer, all these things. You can no longer have that. And in fact, we're supporting legislation, we're pushing legislation by Representative Michael Cloud of Texas to completely just disassemble that gun owner registry, which needs to happen.
Golly, it sure does. Okay. People don't understand that the government is waging a multi-front war on the firearms industry. It's not just gun dealers. It's ammo as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, ammunition, so-called assault weapons. You know, it's interesting. The left is trying every which way to keep us from either buying firearms or to have the ammunition for it. They're pushing lead bans, bans on lead ammunition, which just think that through. If you don't have lead for the ammunition, then that necessarily increases dramatically the cost of ammunition. We'll make it much more difficult for the average gun owner to purchase ammunition for self-defense. And, you know, what good is a firearm other than, you know, just a big heavy object to throw at somebody if you don't have ammunition for it? So this is really diabolical what the Biden administration is doing, and they're just coming at us from 50 different areas. But I'll tell you what, Gun Owners of America has several lawsuits challenging many of these things. We're fighting them in Congress as well, working to defund these executive actions that Biden has taken, as well as to defund the agency that is weaponizing itself against gun owners.
Eric, thank you so much. Come back soon.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We're not done. Joe Biden, Hawaii. You know what? Let's have a chat about that and some other things before we get to that. I realize these are some times that may be causing a bit of agitation, anxiety, if you will. Maybe you're even having trouble sleeping. Oh my gosh, 4 more years of Biden. Look, I can't do anything about that. Well, besides work hard for the election like you, I probably can help you sleep a little though. Help you relax. Maybe take away some of that muscle joint pain. Go to CB Distillery. Not only do they have everything you need, they have a special sale going on right now. I usually tell you about 20%, right? 20%, 20%. If you go to cbdistillery.com and enter the promo code VIP, you can get up to 50% off. 50% off some things. cbdistillery.com, promo code VIP. Drop the big pharma crap. CB Distillery, all right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you tell us about your Hawaii trip, sir?
No, not now. I'm going to be leaving. I'll be there on Monday.
Why is it important that you go?
Sir, on the family issue.
Thank you, Mr. President.
In case you didn't see, Joe Biden is, he's on vacation again. He's always on vacation. He is. Something like 35% of his presidency has been spent on vacation. It's what happens when you elect an 80-year-old man who doesn't have a functional brain anymore and needs lots of rest. But he did take a few hours out of his vacation, flew to Hawaii. I think he was there for 6 hours, visit the people of Maui. People of Maui are feeling a little bit neglected, though.
Not only are people unhappy about the local and state and county response and about the speed of it, but also about sort of the perceived lack of communication from federal officials, including the president, who took a while to make a statement that was substantial.
Where's the president? I mean, like, where? Aren't we Americans too? Like, we're part of the United States, but why are we getting put in the back pocket? Why are we being ignored?
Allow me to explain. Why are you being ignored? And this is the part that is so difficult for Normie Norm and Normie Norma to understand. Maybe this is something you struggle with. I'm not trying to insult you. This is something decent people struggle with. Decent people are going to have struggles as we move forward. Struggles with comprehension. Struggles understanding what they're seeing. Struggles understanding why this is happening. Why this isn't happening. Why? So allow me to lay it out for Norm and Norma. Communists, the people who run your government, your entertainment industry, your media industry, your education system, they run virtually every industry in America now. Again, this is hard to understand. I understand Norm is probably already rolling his eyes. That's fine. I'm telling you the truth. Communists run every cultural institution now. And communists are many, many things. Most of those things are terrible. In fact, pretty much all of them are. But above all, a communist is an anti-human. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. He's an anti-human. He is the enemy of the human race. I didn't even come up with that thought. Solzhenitsyn, after he spent a bunch of time in the Soviet gulags, called them the enemies of humanity. That's why they cause so much misery and death. They are anti-humans. They believe human beings mostly to be a plague, a burden. They believe the solution to most problems is, frankly, arresting or killing people who are in the way. They're anti-humans. So when I see pictures of a wildfire or a fire devastating homes, killing people, my heart breaks for families, for kids, for, oh my gosh, what are they going through? Normie Norm and Normie Norma have to wrap their minds around this basic fact. The communist doesn't see human tragedy because humans are not important to the communist. There's no such thing as a human tragedy when you don't care about humans. That's why these people sound so cold every single time something terrible happens. That's why the freaking governor and so many others ran to the television set as children were being burnt to a crisp and talked about climate change.
Just to be clear, when you're talking about global warming, are you saying that climate change amplified the cost of human error?
Yes, it did.
There's no soul. I'm sorry, Norm. I'm sorry, Norma. Look, he wasn't alone. The communists saw devastation, saw tragedy. He didn't see heartbreaking things, sad things. The communists saw an opportunity. They even got the head of the Department of Homeland Security to jump in and talk about it.
Former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson, someone who has held your role before, has told me he believes the climate crisis may be the greatest threat to U.S. national security. Do you agree with that?
I think it is one of the most prominent threats that we face.
They can't help themselves. I understand something, Norma. This is how it will be going forward. These people, it's not that they don't respond to human tragedy, they don't believe in human tragedy. When you're an anti-human, what do you care about tragedies? All right, now that probably made you uncomfortable too. Let's talk about some cultural stuff, some good things. Let's talk about cleaning our air. Because we need to clean the air in our homes, need to clean the air in our offices. That's why we struggle, we get the sniffles all the time, sick all the time. You got viruses and mold and all kinds of stuff in your air, and we never think about cleaning it. If there was a gigantic red stain on your counter, you would go get the little spray bottle and pss, 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 that's the sound the spray bottle's making. You'd scrub it down. But because we can't see all the crap in our air, we don't do anything about it. Why not? Eden Pure Thunderstone will clean it for you. Go plug it in a room, any room. I recommend your bedroom to start out. Walk away. Come back in an hour and come back and tell me if you see a difference, if you smell a difference. You will. You'll be able to tell your air is clean. I have 9 of these. I keep them everywhere now. They're freaking miracles, man. These little black boxes, they don't even hardly make any noise. Just go right in the outlet in the wall. They have 3 packs of them for sale, $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse is where you get that deal, all right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. Living in the new. With an old soul, these rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control.
Oliver Anthony, it's my understanding the dude has now turned down $8 million from the musical industry, various offers since that song blew up. Why'd that song blow up anyway? I don't get it. Joining me now, the king, queen, I should say, diversity hire at Babylon Bee, which just murders me. She also wrote the book Elephants Are Not Birds, Ashley St. Clair. Ashley, why is this song so popular? I mean, my goodness, I even downloaded it. What's wrong with me?
I think this song is popular because it speaks to the average everyday American and the struggle we're all feeling. It's getting increasingly hard to just exist, to live in America. We see this especially with Gen Z, and they have this apathy, people want to say, but much of Gen Z even recognizes this pain and that they're going to own nothing and be happy, eat the bugs. So I think he really was able to speak to a population here that really isn't spoken to. It's usually forgotten, the everyday American person.
Ashley, there's something that's intergenerational, actually, because we're obviously very different generations, as people can see from the gray in my beard. But my generation is sad, too. Your generation is sad. Men are sad. Women are sad. Hopeless, listless. I see it all the time, and it saddens me. That's what bums me out. I can't necessarily quantify all of it, but you try.
I think it's because we have a system that's inherently against the people. Again, it's harder and harder to live. We saw this during COVID, right? We weren't allowed to make a living or operate our businesses. Meanwhile, Jeff Bezos and Amazon saw record profits. Most people my age know that they're never going to own a home. Even a car is becoming increasingly unaffordable. Rent is astronomical. I think that's why so many people are sad, because they're working for absolutely nothing. There's no purpose left. And when you don't have that purpose, you have a very sad and broken population that will do anything, including take handouts from the government, including offer up more of their freedoms in exchange for security. So I think that's where a lot of this is coming from.
Ashley, how do we fix it?
I think people, there needs to be more Oliver Anthonys, right? I think people need to start speaking from the heart, especially people who are artists. You saw recently Rainn Wilson was speaking out against Oliver Anthony and that he should have written the song a different way. Instead, he should have spoken up against, you know, the CEOs who are making so much money. But really, these people aren't artists. People like Rainn Wilson, they're not artists anymore, even though they pretend to be. Real art is what Oliver Anthony did. We speak from the heart. And so often we want to put on a facade, and it's the Instagram world where everything's happy. And most people are not happy. And I think people really should discuss reality more. I think we need to come back down to earth in order to figure out where we're all at, how we can get out of this. People need to start speaking up.
Speaking of people speaking up, Larry Elder went on that show, The Breakfast Club, huge morning radio show around here, well, nationwide, and here's how that went.
I'm acutely aware, Charlamagne, that I'm a black person, just as you are a black person. And when Joe Biden insulted you by saying, you ain't really black, we don't know whether or not you want to vote for me or vote for Donald Trump, it seems to me that should have been a wake-up call on your part. How dare this guy come in here and insult you, a black man, and tell you you got to think a certain kind of way? I'm amazed that you weren't mad about that.
How should I have replied to him, you think?
What I just now said? How dare you insult me and tell me I think as a human being, let alone as a black person? I don't tell you how to think, Joe Biden. How dare you come in here and tell me how I should think? I'm going to vote for Donald Trump if I want to vote for Donald Trump. And if I want to vote for Donald Trump, it does not make me not black. 20% of black people, black men, as I said, voted for Donald Trump in 2020. Are they not black now? So only 80% of black people, black men walking around are really black, 20% are not, because they voted for Donald Trump? How insulting is that? How condescending is that?
I mean, you're probably right, but I didn't take it in that way.
I did. This guy has made all sorts of insulting things to black people, and his policies right now are hurting black people. Inflation hurts the people at the bottom more than anything else. Letting a bunch of illegal aliens into the border are hurting black people more than anybody else, as I said earlier. He opposes school choice when he has his own kids in private school, and we lost a year, almost 2 years of in-school education in California because of COVID that he supported. I mean, this guy has done monstrous things to black people, and then for him to come in here and tell you how you ought to think as a black person, it blew my mind.
Ashley, I see people posting this clip everywhere, and you'll see several things like it out there, but people aren't necessarily changing their voting habits. Everything Larry Elder just said right there was right, but they don't change how they vote. People don't change how they vote. Single women are more miserable now than they've ever been. They still run out and vote Democrat every single time before they go dye their hair pink. People don't seem to take accountability for how they vote.
No, they don't. And you're seeing this happen, especially in Hawaii. This is the result of, in Maui, this is the result of Democrat policies. In Maui, you had a Mr. the overlord of the water who was spewing all of his woke garbage about how water should be revered. And he, as many of us know now, he stopped water from being released for hours as the city was burning alive, as the island was burning. I mean, we have thousands of missing, 1,000 missing people right now. 1 in 4 school children will not be there. And this is the result of Democrat policies. A lot of this could have been avoided had people voted differently. But I just think it's become so polarized, and the left is very smart in this regard, how they said, if you vote right, if you vote red, you're a literal Nazi. This is the rhetoric they used, and it was very, very persuasive. It's worked, and it's still working, this racist boogeyman narrative.
Well, Ashley, thank you. Come back soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
We have a different light in the mood next. It's light. It's a light in the mood, so I guess that kind of makes it the same, but it's different. It's not a funny video this time. You just have to wait and watch, all right? Now, there's something you probably should not wait on. Getting precious metals in your hands. I don't just mean as part of your IRA and 401k, and you should definitely do that. Don't get me wrong. You should do that. Physical gold and silver in your hands. The best part of that is there's no reason not to, and I know that's a double negative, but let's say you're thinking about getting some silver, and then you say to yourself, well, dollar's not going to collapse in my lifetime. I'm sure it'll all be fine. I'll never need this. Maybe you're right. Hopefully you are right. What if your kids need it? You see, that's the most beautiful part about the gold and silver. It not only has incredible value, no matter what, it will keep incredible value and it doesn't get stale. It doesn't expire. Hand it to your children. Lord willing, they can hand it to their children after them. But on a long enough timeline, someone's going to need it. Call Oxford Gold, please. 833-995-GOLD. They'll get it in your IRA and 401k. They'll get it in your hands. Physical gold. You need some. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood, and we're going to lighten the mood with a little something different today. Before we get to that, before we lighten the mood, let's do this. I have been talking to you for the longest time about rough greens, and I will tell you, what this is, it's a continuing theme for me in my own life. Over the past few years especially, I have grown more and more disenfranchised, if you will, with the traditional institutions of our country. Medical institutions, FDA, things like that. I have decided to do everything I can to pursue more natural solutions for my health, my family's health. I love rough greens because it's a natural herbal supplement for my dog. Not another pill, not another trip to the vet, not another shot. A natural herbal supplement. I pour it on my dog's food and he gets actual nutrition, probiotics and vitamins and minerals and omega oils. I know I'm getting longer with him. He's going to live longer because I give him rough greens. That's why I talk to you about it all the time. Try it for your dog. They give out a free bag. roughgreens.com/Jesse, free bag. Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG, all right? All right, today is August 21st. That means yesterday was August 20th. 5 years ago, as of yesterday, I sat down to do my first ever radio show. No TV show. That wasn't sitting here bringing you the show on the first, no radio show. Local guy I knew a nationally sitting. Long story short, I was given the opportunity for 1 hour, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. at night, I was given the opportunity to sit down and do a radio show. You know, 7 to 8 p.m. on a local radio show, local radio station. Nobody's listening, right? 5 years ago, that happened. Today, I get to sit here in front of you, so blessed to work here on the first, get to say what I want. Radio shows now nationally syndicated across the country, book and all that other stuff. But I didn't say all that, surprisingly, to brag about me or anything I have done or anything like that. There were a lot of people involved in that success. I said that about you because this is something that's been on my mind a lot lately, and you're going to hear me talk about this a lot going forward. I don't like how many men and women in this country are sad right now. Sad, disenfranchised, listless, just kind of feel lost, feeling hopeless. Maybe you're feeling like that. Maybe you're feeling like that right now, lost, hopeless. I am not going to do some Tony Robbins rah-rah thing for you here. I'm just going to tell you this. 5 years ago, I was flat broke, out of work. We couldn't pay our bills. Things weren't looking that great. And like that, just took off and it happened like that. Maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I'm 60. It's not going to happen for me. Maybe 61's your year. Maybe you're 15. Maybe 16's your year. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I'm not going to sit there and tell you, put a smile on your face and be happy. That's ridiculous. I am here to tell you, though, keep going because you never know, all right? Today might be the day that phone call comes that changes your life, all right? I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.